the meeting to order. All right, young man, before I so rudely interrupted you, you may continue.
Again, I'm Tim Falaschi with Cairns & Associates, professional engineer with Cairns' office here in Millsboro, on just north of the intersection 24 and 113. I'm going to just review the at risk of repeating what Mr. Witzel has already said. I'm just going to go over the 99C requirements, which you've all gotten a copy of. I'll just give a brief overview. As to the integration of the proposed subdivision in the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, the present character of the area is a mix of single-family homes and agricultural operations. Currently, this property is mostly an agricultural operation. And it has been leased out to an area farmer for several years by the owner of the property. And as Mr. Witzel said, there is a similar subdivision that exists at the northwest corner of Johnson Road and Beaver Dam Branch Road. It is relatively flat in the area, and there is a tax ditch, the L&W tax ditch, that this property will drain to. Excuse me. As for minimal use of wetland and floodplains on the property itself, there are no wetlands or floodplain. The preservation of natural and historical features, I believe in the TAC review comments that Mr. Lank read earlier, that they did note that there were no natural or no historical features that need to be located within the property. There is as for the preservation of open space and scenic views, they are 3/4-acre lots that have very wide setbacks and very wide spaces between each of the houses, so that there is an expansive vegetated area between each of the houses and to the rear of the houses. There's also a proposed 30-foot wide forested buffer between agricultural processes and a 20-foot buffer between these lots and any other individual lots. And as Mr. Witzel said, there's 10.84 acres of open space, including the buffer and stormwater management areas. A minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes. The very end of the property is wooded, those trees would be removed, but not in their entirety, just where it's necessary to put roads and houses and the stormwater management pond. Just as a note, septic systems do not, when you have septic systems, you cannot use, you're not able to do mass grading on the property, just for the simple fact that if you disturb that land, it limits its infiltration possibilities for the septic systems. For the screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways, again, there is a 30-foot wide forested buffer proposed along all ag properties and 20-foot along residential lots, which satisfies ordinance 115-25 and screens from the neighboring properties. The provision for water supply, the water will be supplied by individual on-site wells. And again, the provision for sewage disposal will be on-site wastewater treatment or commonly septic systems. Within the packet that I supplied, everyone has been supplied with a copy of the approved subdivision feasibility study. In order to provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent walkways, there is a bus stop proposed within the subdivision in order to make it safe for waiting school students. The roadways are designed as specified by the Sussex County Public Works Department, and as Mr. Witzel said, the sidewalk, we're requesting either relief or leaving the sidewalks out. The effect on area property values, we believe that the proposed subdivision has a similar character has a similar character and size to the surrounding areas. The deed restrictions will govern the type of home that we built, and we do not foresee any negative effect on property values, as this will effectively look the same as the developed properties in the area. The agricultural use protection notice is included in the amended covenants and restrictions, which you've all been supplied a copy of. The effect on the schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Mr. Witzel listed the areas that are affected: fire department, schools, and state police, all of which are not anticipated to be affected. Effect on roadways and public transportation. We are doing an upgrade, a 2-inch overlay, and making the lanes on Johnson Road 10 feet wide. The compatibility with other land uses. Again, the AR1 zoning states you can have three quarter acre lots, and again, the surrounding lots are about that same size. As for the effect on area waterways, water quality and quantity shall be maintained or enhanced by the proposed measures within the subdivision. The previous application was withdrawn because of issues with drainage and stormwater. And they couldn't get past the Sussex Conservation District's requirements with the proposed subdivision that was in front of them. As you can see, we've added stormwater management ponds as well as swales leading into those ponds. It was investigated to use infiltration, which would be a dry basin, and that's the water would go into the dry basin into the ground. With the high water table that is currently on this site, it's not possible to have the separation distance that you need between the ground and the water table in order to effectively get rid of that water. All the water within the subdivision will be directed to these ponds and then into the L&W tax ditch, which we've already gotten quartered or changed from the Denrec drainage section. So with that, I will leave it to any questions for either Mr. Witzel or myself.
Tim, just briefly in regard to the stormwater management ponds, because some of the people who came up to look at the plat might be concerned about that. Just so that everyone understands, the last attempt at subdivision planning was with swales and infiltration systems, and that did not work.
Again, the infiltration will not work because of the high water table.
And the stormwater management ponds that are proposed on the two that are proposed on the north and the southeast, southwest portion of the property are the recommendations of soil conservation and DNREC?
When you need to control quality and quantity, if you cannot do infiltration, you need some sort of a pond in order to control the quantity of the runoff.
And the effluent from the flow from the northern pond will be piped to the southwesterly pond, and any overflow from that will go into the outfall into the tax ditch.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I have just a few concluding remarks, and that is that we will comply with all Sussex County subdivision code requirements and all agency recommendations. The three-quarter plus lots are the standard lots in the AR1 district. They're similar to those lots in the surrounding area, and we are only applying for what we are legally entitled to apply for. I anticipate that those persons who might have come up to take a look at the plat reside along the stripped-off lots on Beaver Dam Creek Road and Johnson Road, and those of you on the board recognize the widely acknowledged zoning concept that planned and restricted subdivisions are good land use planning. This plan incorporates all of the recommendations of the TAC committee and of Soil Conservation District. So we've done, I think, a thorough job, and as Cairns has done, in preparing this plan for your review. That concludes our presentation, and we're prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you, and we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Yes, Mr. Witzel, the application, I just want to confirm, is for a standard subdivision application, is that
yes,
correct?
Sir.
You mentioned that there was some affordable housing component. Can you tell me what price range you're talking about? What are the restrictions? Are there any restrictions on that, or is it just you're trying to make modestly priced house? What?
Well, moderately affordable is what I mentioned, and in speaking with Mr. Bierman, they hope to be upper 200s, middle 200s for a lot and modest home construction.
Very good. The ditch, if you can show me where the tax ditch hooks into your stormwater pond.
Tax ditch is actually across Shadow Church.
And then it goes under the road, and how far up does it run into the development? It just stops at the pond?
The tax ditch actually ends currently at Shiloh Church.
Right, so you're just going to bring it under and hook it to your pond?
Correct.
Yes, sir. There'll be an outfall there.
Sure. And then the top pond, Mr. Velasquez, where does that drain?
It actually has an outfall structure and a pipe along the back of these lots.
And comes into the other pond.
Correct.
Okay, so that the ditch is on the subdivision property or on the property line, or where's that?
The ditch itself?
Yeah, that runs.
It actually begins at the other side of Shiloh.
But when you extend it, you're going to extend
that. Not actually extending the ditch, we're extending the drainage area to the ditch.
Right. But put your finger back up on the top pond. You said there was a ditch that came down there to the other.
It'll be a closed pipe system.
It's a closed pipe, Mr. Ross.
Okay.
Yes.
And your trees and stuff will be planted on top of that closed pipe.
It'll actually the closed pipe will be just inside the trees.
Gotcha. Right.
My understanding is that each lot will be assessed something like $15 or $20 a year for the tax ditch, which is advantageous to the tax ditch people as well.
Certainly.
Even though the ditch doesn't really come through the subdivision lots.
But it serves them.
Yes, sir.
In the septic report, it mentions that it's the opinion of the department that the lot 41 should be precluded from use because of a depression. Do you want to address that?
I'm going to allow Mr. Velasquez to answer that question.
Lot 21 may cannot use a standard septic, and they would most likely be able to design an alternative, be it a micro drip,
low pressure.
A low pressure pipe or a micro drip. You can bury it very shallow, and you can end up you can still use a septic system, just not a standard septic system.
This is on lot 41, right? That's what's in the book.
It's not 41.
Is that right? There's some question.
Because I thought I heard you say 21.
Is it 21 or 41?
You actually asked. I don't know where I don't have the.
I can tell you what page is on if you want to refer to it.
You go up there and point to which lot you're talking about, so these folks out here will have a clear understanding of that.
It's in the Karen's report, septic report, next to last page, second bullet on conclusions.
I'm sorry. In the opinion of the department, that the small topographic depression located near the proposed lot 41 should be precluded from use. That's just a small area within that lot.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the lot itself cannot
right.
be used.
So there's still another space there for...
Correct.
And these are all standard septic systems, or are they...
They're not all standard septic systems.
Would you mind just going over to the drawing and put your finger on the lot that's being talked about? Folks are interested to know.
This is lot 41.
Okay.
And there was a small typical depression that they recommend not putting the septic system in.
Have you found clay there?
No, not now, sir. You'll get a chance. All right, so you go ahead.
The septic systems, I'm sure you understand, they've recently adopted new total maximum daily loads, are they within those loading rates?
If they are, they'll be used with a pretreatment system. There'll be a pretreatment system ahead of the septic system.
Okay.
That's usually some sort of bio system.
The request is to do the playground area in what was the 50-foot easement, and it has it's signaled here next to two road front lots, 17 and 16, I believe. If we were to say that's not a good place, it's not very centrally located, Mr. Witzel. I mean, number one, it's well away from the houses. Number two, it's in between two other people's homes, and I'm not sure, I'm not going to speak for them, I guess, but if I lived in either one of those homes, I'm not sure I want a playground between my house, you know what I mean? Where else can you put this little play area? Somewhere within the developers. Is that something you can work out?
Well, I'll leave that for Tim's answer.
There are other areas that we looked at in order to use for those, for that tot lot, say a recreation area. Other open space areas that were contemplated are being used for stormwater management currently, but we have not finalized the stormwater management report for Sussex Conservation District, and the ponds could get smaller and therefore leave space somewhere near and able to shift one of the lots as long as the septic feasibility is still available for that lot.
I had suggested to Tim that the area between lot 4 and 5 at the first corner of the subdivision, and Mr. Ross, that's not too centrally located either, but it seems to be an appropriate area in the front of that stormwater management area along the road. But when you consider a 5,000 square foot lot, that's the size of a lot in Rehoboth Beach, 50 by 100.
Right.
And I had your consideration to begin with that might be not large enough, but when you consider an entire city lot dedicated to a recreation area, that's...
I'm not so much concerned of the size, Mr. Witzel, as I am where the heck the darn thing is. I mean, it's really not within the subdivision, number one, and it's placed between two other people's homes, and it just doesn't seem respectful of those people's situation. I can't speak for the other commissioners, Mr. Witzel, but I think the sidewalks are going to be an issue. We might be able to work with you with one set of sidewalks if we acted favorably on the application. But my personal opinion would be that I don't think we can go with zero.
Well, we'd appreciate your consideration for one set of sidewalks, Mr. Ross.
Well, we'll have to discuss that after we hear from the public comments and the rest of our discussion. That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Ross. Most of my questions have been answered by either the applicant, the exhibit book, or Mr. Ross's questioning. I did have, just so I can get an understanding, I went out and I'd seen the site, and your aerial photo in the exhibit book is helpful. Could you tell me approximately the date of that aerial photo?
It actually looks fairly green, so my guess is it was in the last summer. I think there was watermelons planted there, but I'm not 100% sure. So
I'm sure. So the wooded area, as indicated by the aerial, is pretty much how it is today.
Correct.
Okay. I couldn't see that, and it's wet, and I didn't get out and walk,
right,
beyond driving by. And speaking of driving, on your site plan, in the vicinities of lots 5 and 6 and 30 and 31, you've got on the roadway some little bubbles, I guess. Are they traffic calming measures? Is that?
Yeah, they're not traffic calming. It's actually a requirement of the fire marshal that they ask us to, so that their trucks can turn around within the subdivision if they're there.
You considering any provision for a school bus stop or shelter?
We are considering, just in front of the lot 47 would be a school, you know, a school bus stop, bus shelter.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. I know you've been, I think it's been a while since we saw you here, or at least at meetings that I was present, but I know you have a good background in engineering and qualifications. If you could speak to me about the how you find the relative size of the stormwater management ponds that you're working with, because the meaning that the one up in the area, and I guess Conservation District will have a final say once you put this off, but the one up between lots 4 and 5 at 2.272 acres, it's almost 100,000 square feet. And then the other one at 3.7, which is fairly close to approaching 4 acres, is once again, you know, 50% larger. How would you compare that with other stormwater management ponds and measures you've taken in other subdivisions?
For the most part, when you have a wet pond, they tend to be a little bit larger, simply because you're not actually getting rid of the water, you're holding the water for an extended period. In similar subdivisions, the size of these ponds are relative. However, we have to take into account the water table elevation. The water table elevation that creates the water surface elevation,
mm-hmm.
And in order to store any water above that, that's why the size is larger, but in general, for a wet pond, it's not out of character.
Have you designed any ponds that were 3 3/4 acres for stormwater management?
Yes, I've done several that were, you know, upwards of 10 acres. Depending on what subdivision you're in, or regional stormwater management. If you look at some things you may not be aware that is a stormwater management pond, say on a golf course, a lot of those ponds are actually stormwater management ponds, not just things I hit my ball into. But most of the ponds that are used, a lot of them are used with you know, like a bulkhead or something like that. It's mm-hmm. typically they are stormwater management ponds.
If you allow me, then just one last time, I'll be a little more specific, excluding like golf courses and something that would be near an area roadway or waterway that would have the bulkheading that you mentioned on a just a straight up residential subdivision.
I do have one. It's actually called the Big Lake, and it's a 10-acre pond in the middle of a subdivision.
Okay.
So it is. It is on par with most of the, you know, other wet ponds that I've seen.
Thank you, sir. That's all.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I understand it, the previous plan that was approved was for 41 lots.
41 lots, correct?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
And that one you weren't able to develop because of problems with the water?
It was not designed by Bay State Engineering to have stormwater management ponds, and Soil Conservation just put their foot down on that, and we had to pull the plug on it.
So I was just curious how you went from 41 to 47.
They were larger lots.
Okay. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
Not to keep talking about stormwater management, but it just seems like you're putting a 2.2-acre stormwater management pond number 2, and clear cutting all the trees. Is there any other place that could go and save the trees?
That area of trees would most likely, even if there was a lot there, there would most likely be a reasonable amount of clearing on that parcel. And because of the lay of the land, it is fairly flat. That was the best. One of the drainage areas actually ends up near where that pond is, so that is the best area to put that pond. A drainage area typically, you know, ends up at the lowest area, so this would be the lowest area of that portion of the site.
Okay.
Mr. Burton and Mr. Ross, I can assure you that if we can reduce that size during the final site plan preparation stage, Mr. Ross, that is, that was my first choice when I spoke to Tim about a location for the recreation area. And if we can reduce the area of that pond proximate to the drive, that probably would be the best spot for it. And we will certainly make that a willing condition of approval, that that be the first location for any recreation area, if we can reduce the size of the pond. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Burton.
That's fine. Are there any plans for any streetlights?
No, sir.
In just in trying to maintain stormwater management pond number one, how would you access that to cut the grass and clean the pond?
There's an easement between lots 22 and 23.
Okay. Great. No further questions. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
Just one, and I apologize if I missed this. On, you said you had to go to the Superior Court to get the tax ditch, I guess, get this annexed into the tax ditch area?
Yes.
Okay. What stage of the process are you with that?
We have gone through the tough stage, which is getting the tax ditch managers to agree.
Right, okay.
They have, soil conservation basically takes it over, Vince, and they prepare the documents, they speak to the managers. It has been executed, there's an agreement. And once that happens, it's a fairly routine process.
Okay. The design and location of the ponds, though, that's all contingent on everything being approved by Superior Court for the tax ditch or this property being brought into the tax ditch.
I would say that everything in this subdivision is conditioned on that approval for the expansion of the tax ditch.
Okay. All right.
That's what we've been working on for the past year.
My I bring that up because I'm just wondering if it would be appropriate, just so that things track right. Well, let me ask you this. What's the timing that you expect for getting that approved?
We're hoping within the next month.
Okay, all right. I was going to suggest that maybe leave the record open for that, since the project hinges on that, rather than making it conditioned on that. That would be the only thing that I would offer.
I think that's
offer.
Wise. Very wise.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Flasky knows better than I. Are we looking at a month or two? Or is it
I actually did. I received a call from the from Denrec Drainage Section that the documents were ready to be signed, and they were taking them to the tax ditch manager to be signed. And obviously, our client is prepared to sign them at any point. So, and then it's just a matter of getting it recorded, and it'll be done.
I have a question for you. And you may have testified to this already, and I apologize if I missed it, but how deep do you anticipate the ponds being given the high water table?
The ponds themselves, the water elevation will be about, I believe it has to be at least 3 feet deep so that the cattails and things like that don't grow.
Okay.
So it will be at least 3 feet deep, and then another probably 4 feet on top of that for storage.
Okay, and the pipe going under the road, Is there sufficient elevation to keep that pipe deep enough under the road?
Yes, the pipe is already
there.
The pipe's
there now?
Yeah, the pipe's there now.
Okay. All right, sir, that's all I have. If you want to take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision number 2010-7 A.J. Bierman, Bierman Family, LLC. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2010-7? All right, sir, we'll start right up here with you.
Thank you.
And we'll work our way back.
And while this gentleman's coming forward, we will take a show of hands from folks who are here in opposition in a moment.
Before we're done, not right now, but when we get finished, we'll ask for a show of hands just so that you all at least get counted, and if not, all of you choose to speak.
Right. Well, I just have a few questions that are a little unclear to me. First of all, my name is Robert Ward. I live on Johnson Road.
Thank you.
Okay, my property abuts number 30-something or other.
Okay.
But to go back to Mr. Johnson, Councilman Johnson's first denial earlier today, he cited traffic patterns as a problem for whatever that first community out further east was. That was my number one objection to this new development going in, especially now that there's only one access egress from that development. That's going to create some problems for people coming in and out of there. At this point in time, we have very little traffic on Johnson Road, I will admit that. But with 47 new homes going in, possibly 100 new cars, or the average is what, to a family, 94 cars going in and out of there twice a day, plus school buses, plus garbage trucks that they were talking about, we could have a serious impact in that area compared to what we have now. So that was my first concern that I'd like to have addressed.
Okay.
Second one is the buffer zone. My understanding, and again, I'm asking this more than I'm stating, is that it's 20 feet between my property and the new home that's going in. Is that correct?
The property, the rear property line of that new home, not the home itself.
No, the property, his property line is going to set off 20 foot from mine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Some of these things make it easier and a little more palatable than what I had explained to me earlier, gentlemen.
That's fine.
So that's
sure.
Why I'm asking some of these questions.
Ask
and hopefully it's some of the questions that my neighbors have.
Okay.
I'd like to know where the L&W drain ditch is, because if they're talking about the corner of Johnson Road and Beaver Dam Branch Road, there's a serious water problem right there already. Now, how is this new situation going to impact that drainage? The water can get 2 feet high at the stop sign at that corner right now. Anytime we have, say, a 2-inch rain, we have some serious problems this time of the year. It's not flood conditions by any means, but how will this impact that? Another question.
Mm-hmm.
Big question for me is, how are they going to stock the ponds? Because I fish every day, just to throw a little lightness in here. I also would like to know what modest...
Usually my job, but...
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, there's two funny guys here tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
I crack
myself up.
But what is a modest home construction? What is that priced how? Where? Is that a stick-built home specifically, or modular? Or are we bringing in mobile homes?
No. I think they testified to the effect that site-built or stick-built, as they're more commonly
right.
homes, and modular homes, both of which have to be built to the same building code, to the Sussex County building code,
which
is different from what you have to do with what's called manufactured housing.
Right.
Manufactured housing will not be permitted.
Okay, well, I thought that's what he said. I thought I heard him say Class C homes, and years ago I thought a Class C home was a modular. So
there won't,
I mean,
it is, and he was saying that there won't be any of those there. They won't be there.
Class C is basically a double-wide manufactured home.
Okay.
And that's not proposed.
Thank you. And the last thing is, I will say you cannot put a playground next to a 7-foot deep pond. Not even a 6-inch deep pond. You cannot put a playground where children are, because children and fire and children and water are like magnets and steel. They're going to go right to those ponds. You can't do that. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, so we thank you. Okay, who's next over here? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
My name is Alan Whaley. I live on Johnson Road, Lot 9. That Lot 41. Could you explain?
Or you need to talk to us, and then I'll ask them to get involved if we need to.
Could you explain the problem with Lot 41 again? Because that butts right up to my lot. I think I was on the sewer system.
All right. Do you have any other questions at this point? Because I'll get them to do that for you when you're done. I was going to let you finish first.
All right. On the tax ditch.
I'm gonna get there, that one.
There's going to be a fee for those properties on the inside of
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. Those folks living there will all pay into the tax ditch. They'll all have a tax ditch tax. They'll pay a ditch tax.
Is that every year?
Well, I imagine it's, yeah. Mine is.
Right now, is that going to include our property on Johnson Road and Beaver Dam Branch Road?
I don't think so, but I'll ask that question to be sure.
All right. Now, they're talking about widening Johnson Road.
Yes, sir.
10 feet on each side of the existing road, is that correct?
I think they were saying they were going to make each lane 10 feet, not add 10 feet to each side. I'll find out. We'll see exactly how much that's we're talking about there.
So that's going to take so many feet, extra feet from our property on Johnson Road.
Mr. Witzel, are you writing this down?
I am.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I was just wondering how much it's going to take off our property. Are we going to be paid for that? land that we're giving up?
I don't know. I think it probably is, it's probably within the right-of-way. I'm sure, in fact, I'm quite sure it's within the right-of-way, so it's not going to take any property from you.
Okay.
It's property you've already given them.
Okay, so there's that right-of-way there now.
Yeah, the right-of-way is wider than the road, than the paving.
Yes, I understand that.
Right.
But if they use that right-of-way to widen the road, are they going to take more right-of-way?
No, I don't think so. But I'm
you
not,
don't think so?
I'm not.
You don't live there?
No. I beg your pardon, sir.
We would like to know.
Beg your pardon, sir. I don't live there, but I live there.
I know you. I know you.
So the right-of-way issue would be up to DelDOT.
Yeah, it's really not an issue for us, and that's why I'm saying I don't think so, because they would be the ones to decide. I think it would be a pretty difficult thing for them to do. So
we're going to lose property anyway.
Well, it's not a done deal yet.
No. And I go along with Mr. Ward. The water ponds and the playground do not mix together. Plus all the noise, fire pit back there, fireplace, the barbecue. Why can't they have a barbecue in their own backyard, you know? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Witzel, I'm gonna ask you to come forward and bring your expert with you if you want.
I was hoping you'd do that.
And I think you've heard the things that have been expressed. I'm going to let you address those for a moment, if you would, please.
Mr. Wheatley, Mr. Whaley said, what's the problem with lot number 41? And I'm going to let Tim Pulaski handle that question.
Yeah, that's what we discussed earlier, that there's a low area on lot 41 that they ask not to have the septic system in. There's not an issue on lot 41 with as far as they're concerned. It's just there is some water there, and some water can lay there, and that's not where you want to put a septic system.
Okay, all right. I think we got it now.
And it may well be a low pressure system on that one lot. We're not sure.
Okay.
Mr. Whaley mentioned the tax ditch and whether or not he would be assessed. Absolutely not. This is just this parcel's inclusion into the tax ditch, and as I mentioned, It's the history of that tax ditch is that it's assessed at $15 per year, but they haven't even sent bills out for the past 10 years. So I'm sure they will hit us up. In regard to Johnson Road, it is a 50-foot right-of-way. I think it is paved to...
It is probably paved 16 feet.
16 feet.
Right now.
It will be paved. We will pave it to 20 feet, so it's 10 feet wide on each side. It will be a tremendous improvement. It will not encroach into Mr. Whaley's property, and the right-of-way will not expand.
I think the one of the questions that might help, too, is he getting what we're talking about is we're going to go from about a 16-foot wide road to a 20-foot wide.
Really, we're looking at adding
about
2 feet on
each
side.
That's you're going to add 2 feet on each side. I know you're concerned about the right-of-way, but that's up to DelDOT, but right now it's 50 feet wide. They've got a 50-foot right-of-way. When they get done, they're going to pave 20 feet down the center of it, so you're going to have a pretty good 15 feet on each side.
Still be 15 feet
left
on each
over,
side.
So I don't think they're going to want any more.
No, and they can't take any more.
They don't have any money to pay you anyway. It won't matter.
Yeah. And we concur with Mr. Whaley's comment about proximity of the... recreation area to the other lots, but we're trying to offer something, and that's the one place that could do it.
Okay. I would like to go back to an issue that the first gentleman raised about
where the tax ditch is.
Well, where it is, not where it is, but the issue of it is it really capable of handling the extra outfall? If you're having issues there now, are you going to do something to fix the ditch?
I believe where he was asking about the intersection of Beaver Dam Branch and Johnson Road, which I'll go over to. It's actually in this area here. I don't know if you can see. He's in this area here.
Oh, okay.
And the L&W tax ditch is actually on this side, over on this side, and that's where our outfall will go.
So conservation.
So what you're telling me is that tax ditch does not serve that
As far as I know, it does not.
Doesn't serve that intersection?
Not serve that corner.
Okay. No. All right. Well, that's what I needed to know. All right, gentlemen.
We had to have a quick, just to answer Robert Werlow, I think he said his name was. In order to petition Soil Conservation District for expansion, we had to prove through engineering studies that that water would be acceptable to that tax ditch, and they wouldn't have gone further without that approval.
All right, thank you. Okay, who's next over here? Ma'am, you were on the end there. Hey.
My name is Mary Beth Patterson Burke. I live on Johnson Road, and I hear what they're telling me about the water, but that's not going to work. My husband and I moved there 15 years ago. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a horse.
Sorry.
And we brought in probably 30 loads of dirt just so we could build our home. And we were approved for a regular septic system. Since then, we still have water, pools of water, in the front of our yard, as well as Mr. Ward's every single time it rains. You're going to fix a water table for the development, but how is that going to affect us? It's got, you know, if we're building more houses, there's still going to be water. So it's still going to come down our road. And it's a concern to me. And that's my first question. And then we're talking about the ponds. I have small children. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to put a fence around it? Because like you said, children are going to gravitate towards that. We don't really let our children out in the yard, but without us, but there may be other people that may let their children out. They'll be riding their bikes or whatever, and who's going to protect them in that area? That's one of my concerns. And traffic. I lived in Rehoboth. I was raised there. My husband and I bought in Laurel. And I wanted to be in an area where there wasn't so much traffic, so I didn't have to worry about that for my children. So that's one of my concerns, and I just hope you guys consider that.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, right here with the, right in the middle with the.
For a call. For a call.
Yeah, there you go. He's got it.
My name is Vince Bonowitz. I live on Johnson Road. I'll show you exactly where.
Okay.
This is the new road. This is my property. This is a vacant lot. This is the young couple's property. Since they knocked down the trees behind my house and then cut this road through here of knocking down all the trees and everything, we get a flood now. All winter, I was lakefront property when we never were. It stopped the water running from this field also. The water runs westerly. Whatever he did with the conservator cutting into that road, he's changed the level of the land. Now, I got a bog in front of my house. Never had it before. I got all clay. I don't see nothing saying clay on no soil sample. I'm the only one in the area with clay. You go down 3 inches, and you better get yourself a good pick. That's why water doesn't run off. You come down and take a look at my house now. It's green. It wasn't green, but it is green now. So there's nothing I can do about the water. I don't know where he's going to put all that water, especially when you start making his highways and other things, you start trapping the water. I don't know where the water's going to run. If it can't run westerly, it's just going to sit there. That's about all I got to say. And the same thing with taking my property, right? That road's been busted up all winter long, right? It's nothing but a couple of stones and some pitch. I came from Jersey where there was regular roads. I had to laugh when they said they repaired my road. It was repaired in 5 minutes. It was a truck went by and dropped some stones. What kind of road are you going to have if you're going to have all that traffic, you know? And we got signs now, new signs. Broken road due to conditions made by water and that. because the water is actually coming up under the road from just him building that road.
One speaker at a time, okay? This gentleman has the floor.
So what I got to say for now.
All right, sir. Thank you.
But there's a lot of water.
Okay. All right, who's next? Over here on this side. Let's go right here.
This could be a while.
You have the floor, sir, as long as you give us your name.
My name is Jerry Hickman, and I live in number 17.
Okay.
Okay. This development has been proposed three different times. What makes us think that he's going to do it properly this time? Manchester Manor, less than a mile away, has had three different developers because the first two have gone bankrupt, and now they're selling to Habitat for Humanity because they can't move them. Also, a half a mile away, Alan Price has 12 lots, been on the market for 18 months. He can't sell them because, and they're actually going to be cheaper than this proposed development. The Denrec site evaluation, I'm going through that now with a business to build one building. And it says, according to the paperwork that I got, it said very limited septic fields on all fronts. The reason it is very limited, I didn't make enough for all of you guys, but you can see the reason, especially on page 2, page 3, and page 4, after a half hour rain, it has water ponds. So therefore, any septic would probably have to be cap and fill or mantle systems. According to the 2010 census, there was 3,800 and, what was it, 3,708 people in Laurel. The average salary of those people was $38,680. I talked to a friend of mine at Wachovia Bank. Based on the demographics, the average demographics in Laurel, they could qualify for a mortgage of $125,445. If he's selling these lots at $67,500, which he has two currently on the market for, or $75,000, then that's going to leave the average person $50,000 for their house, for their septic, for their well, and for their landscaping. What are you going to buy for $50,000?
Just a question, Mr. Hickman. Were you basing your calculation on a one-earner household or a two-earner household?
It was just what the census said, 2010, the average income.
Your mortgage calculation.
Well, it was based on, I called D and I said, I make $38,000 whatever. And how much mortgage
okay.
could I get?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Also, Mr. Witzel said that the houses were going to be in the upper 200s or 300s. All the lots currently in that area are 1 acre or more. Okay. Also, the highest price sold house in the last year and a half was $214,900. So therefore, it's out of character for the area. He also made statement about Shiloh Farms. That was built 15 to 20 years ago, and they're having flooding problems. Chip Guy, you all know him. He couldn't do his laundry for over 2 months because of the water table. And the water table in this farm area is no better than what we have. Also, I told you about Lot 17. They have proposed, even though we have a right-of-way between us and Mr. Wingett, half of that free area is our driveways. DelDOT had us come off of there because it was a right-of-way. Well, now they're taking that away from us for this playground. How are we supposed to pull into our garages and houses?
Do you have a legal legal easement across that property?
DelDOT told us this is where our driveways have to be. They wouldn't allow it off of Beaver Dam Branch. And also for the demographics, within 1 mile of that area, there is 89 properties for sale, 55 of them being open building lots. So So now we have another 47 potential in the demographics. I don't believe we'll support it. The school is already building new schools because of the fact they're overcrowded now, plus they're horrible. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Oh, that's a bad omen.
That's a bad omen. Oh, knock the sign down. Oh, my goodness. You be careful driving home tonight, son.
They knocked the letters right off, too.
Yeah, it is.
Usually people throw him at him, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
My concern is if there's a playground there, how are we going to get into our driveways? And the proposed development already has three entrances or three right-of-ways. They're only using one. And if they're not going to use the other right-of-ways, why don't they deed it back to the property owners next door that was taken from them for the right-of-way? No other comments or anything. Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, hold on for a second.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your driveway entrance off that easement, I take it it's near Beaver Dam Branch Road.
No.
Your entrance is your lot here.
That's correct.
And your entrance.
Our house is 125 feet off of the road, and our driveway is right off of that.
Right. Near to the here?
No, it's closer to the middle.
Middle.
Our property's only 275, so
okay.
That's all about the middle of that.
And
property.
Then the Wingate's entrance is right across?
Right across. If I pull out of my driveway, go right across the right of way, I'm into his driveway.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask Mr. Witzel a question, too?
I was anticipating that.
Mr. Witzel?
Mr. Witzel, we need you again, please, sir.
Yes, sir.
Ross got a question for you.
I mean, it's. With the driveway up there, is this a recorded easement?
We are not aware of that, Mr. Ross, and it's news to me tonight. I have not done a title search, or we'll certainly check into that, but it may well be an encroachment. From what the gentleman says, however, we could certainly work something out. If he is in just the first 125 feet of that area with his driveway for some reason, again, we were proposing that recreation area in the last 100 feet.
Seems coincidental, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I will check it out, but I just can't tell you the facts on whether his driveway is actually in that area or not. Tim, in your studies and your
according to the survey, it does show that the driveway is in that area, but up to like he said, about 125 feet.
I'm going to guess that DelDOT has that recorded.
I would guess not, but I won't disagree with you.
Well,
we'll check that out.
I'm not sure when they built their homes, but I don't think they can get a permit without a DelDOT access permit, and that means that would have to have been recorded, the location. See what I mean?
I understand entirely.
So, in order for Mr. Hickman and Mr. Wingate to get a building permit, and their homes aren't that old, okay, they would have had to have a DelDOT access permit, or they ain't getting it. So, I'm going to say that my bet is that's recorded with DelDOT, so that's an easement. And so, that makes me think that maybe the playground going 100 and some feet is not so coincidental.
We just picked that. I can tell you, we just picked 100 feet out of the
blue.
Yes, sir.
Had nothing to do with the fact that the driveways are there.
No.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Who's next? Yes, sir, with the papers in the air. Come on.
My name's Mike Ellingsworth. I don't live on the perimeter of the proposed land development. I live on Johnson Road further down,
okay.
Down toward Shiloh Church.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, I can attest that the water that runs from that area runs across into Shiloh, through Shiloh, through its ditches, and into the tax ditch. So we are impacted by this water issue. I don't know if you are familiar with the area, but rainy season, we always have water issues in that whole community. But I want you guys to understand that I'm 100% opposed to it either way.
Okay.
Mr. Hickman pretty much summed it up with all the houses. Jerry, I guess his name.
I recognize him.
With so many houses in a square mile for sale. I'm not going to go over. We're going to have a major traffic issue. We have it now. If this goes through, I think your 7 feet you're going to have in a pond is a hazard, is an issue. I just want it known that I'm opposed, and I think it's going to create major issues. You can talk tax ditch, you can talk whatever you want. What it is what it is, and we have water issues, and that's just what it is.
All right, sir. All right, thank you. You're on the record. Yes, ma'am. In the blacktop.
Good evening. My name is Helen Cook, and I live on Beaver Dam Branch Road, and I'm fairly new to Sussex County. We've only been there 5 years. One of my concerns is Beaver Dam Branch Road and Johnson Road are not lined highways. The traffic on Beaver Dam Branch Road consists of tractor trailers, equipment. There seems to be no speed limit. I've contacted state police, Del Dot. I'll invite all of you to come and sit in my front yard. But to say that this won't impact the traffic pattern is not true. I just feel that Beaver Dam Branch Road is a direct road to Route 9. And the traffic on our road is nonstop. And like I said, the speed limit is posted at 45?
40.
But I can tell you, we need speed bumps, we need something. And one gentleman was killed on our road mowing his grass by a speeder. So the impact of traffic is definitely an issue I have with the whole situation. And my property would butt up to this new neighborhood. So I totally enjoy seeing the farmers work there. I totally enjoy seeing the deer run there. And I would be totally disappointed if they turned that into a community. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Is there somebody over here? What's up with the gentleman in the green t-shirt? And that would be you? Yeah, come on up.
Hi, my name is Kyle Mitchell. I've lived on Beaver Dam Branch Road 24 years, before Shiloh ever came, any of it. It's already incredibly amount of traffic. They've destroyed the road. It'll beat you to death now, let alone to have 47 more homes with another 47 to 94 cars. And then if you have a pond, the one pond to the left, who's going to maintain the pond? It's right on Shiloh Church Road. It's right on the edge of it. See, it's one of the first things you're going to see before you even get to Shiloh Farms. It's going to have stuff growing, whatever. Who's going to take care of it?
Homeowners Association will ultimately be responsible for it. That's who is supposed to take care of it.
Yeah, but I mean, you see so many developments, and like the gentleman said about already the empty lots all over the county. Why do we need 47 more? That was all for now.
Thank you, Mr. Theophiles.
I'm John Theophilus. I live, let me show you where I live. I have the most property that borders this along with the road. It runs right by my land, okay? About 2 years ago, the developer came in and with an excavator and traumatized the woods back here behind my house. Since then, I've been paying people to clean up all the trees falling on my property. Not a good neighbor policy. I'm from the good old boy school where everybody looks out for one another that lives out there. And I don't know. We have tremendous drainage problems now. The road's falling apart. And I see a pink elephant painted green. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have to live there. And we like living there. And I'm really not very happy about what this could do to my property.
Okay.
So I'm opposed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you for straightening me out on the pronunciation of your name. Believe it or not, it was actually the subject of a discussion in our office not long ago, and I should have won. But anyway, who's next? Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back in the aqua-colored top. Just getting off work. Okay.
My name is Beverly Gray Mears. I was the second person out on Shiloh. I live on Beaver Dam Branch Road. When Shiloh got started, it was daylight 24 hours a day. And they were building homes all the time. I'm curious how soon they're going to start. Is it still going to be the same issue if it does get passed? Definitely concerned about the water and the drainage ponds. Children issues, danger, death, it's not a good thing. Wondering if with the ditches, I think I heard 3 acres and then 2.2 acres of a ditch, if I'm not mistaken. Mosquitoes, bugs, everything else that comes along with that. I definitely understand what Ms. Helen is saying as far as traffic. It's terrible on that road. I was there when the gentleman got killed as well. So that's a real bad issue there. Stop signs are definitely an issue. We've called the police. We've called DLDOT. I've called a whole bunch of people. They say get a petition together. Has anyone been injured? Someone had to die to get a stop sign. So that's pretty sad. With there just being the one entrance in there, it's going to cause the traffic to be even more. We've got children on bicycles, children and parents pushing strollers. It's a lot of issues. It's a lot of problems there. The part that makes me really nervous is when I hear the gentleman say, we're not planning on doing this. It's possible. We're going to think about changing it. But once it gets approved, I guess they can pretty much do what they want. And that's fearful for me.
Well, not exactly. This is a kind of a multi-step process. They do have to come back. And I'm not arguing for or against. I'm just explaining to you how it works. Is that they have to come back with a final site plan, and they have to conform to whatever they had said they were going to do, plus they have to abide by all the ordinances and regulations. It's not unusual for a plan to come back and actually be one or two less lots than they have because they just couldn't work it out with what they were showing as a preliminary, but they can never have more. They can't go up. So,
okay.
But anyway, that just to try to answer your question.
All right, and then the only other thing I had on here was as far as the playground. You know, I have a swing set in my backyard, I have a pool, I have a trampoline, I have those things. I don't need it in a specific area, and I don't think that's very much needed, and I know the people who live where that little breezeway happens to be, and I wouldn't appreciate it if it were my lot either, and that's all I have.
All righty, we thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir, step right up.
Donald Steen, Mr. Wheatley.
Hey, how are you?
We've met on the phone.
We have.
I'm a lifetime farmer in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I need a provost at Lake Ross Barrelhead.
Well, you can walk right over there if you want. Point. Yeah. Talk.
This is my family farm. The other road over here, East 8 Dam Road, I tilled. And I've lived in this area all my life. Now, they're proposing to dump all this traffic on this road right here, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, what are you going to have, a rope out there 24 hours, tell them to go this way? They're going to go that way. They ain't all going to go this way, right? You know it, right?
You're right.
Yeah. So I could R2 hit full time. You go around here while at home, I could R2 hit to pick up trash full time from this development down here and all the rest of the people go there. You got guys coming home from work to stop, get 6 beers. Well, guess what they do with their beer bottles?
Come out.
In my field. And he picks them up. Trash. I mean, from Wallet Pond all the way down this road is nothing but trash. It looks like a slum. Then after Pop conks out in the recliner, here come these kids on the four-wheelers and the pickup trucks and do donuts. You all see the donuts in the fields. So he said there's no impact to this development? Well, bull. There is plenty of impact. And you can go right down here to the development. They're talking about the water, ponds. Shallow forms, since I've lived there, I've been there all my life. They had flooded that twice. Night, you can hear a pump running. They would have a foot of water underneath their house. And they tell me they don't have no water problems? Bull. So we don't need any more developers in this area or Sussex County, all the ones that got started and can't finish. We need more farmland. I tried to order some from Sierra Nevada, but they said the road. I'm totally against it, and I rest my peace.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Steen. One trip to a customer, I'm afraid. Is there anybody else? I know, but one trip to a customer, it's the rules. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. Yes, sir, Mr. Tyler.
My name is Michael Tyler. I have no idea where this development is, but I do. But there was a time when you had asked, I don't know, Mr. Lank or somebody, to put a map up that would show where this lot was in relation to other communities in Sussex County to help people and to help you understand the cumulative impact that developments like this are having on the total area. I've heard a couple of people talk about Shiloh farms and everything. Well, where is it in relation to this? How does this impact their development? Not just from a water point of view, but from every aspect, whether it's safety or whatever. So it's just a question. I'm not opposed or in favor of. I'm just saying it would be very helpful to have a big map, and we can get one of them made and show exactly where this is and what other developments either that are existing or that are coming on to be reviewed or that have been reviewed and still not developed. That would be very helpful. The second thing, don't you find it a little incongruous that they're talking about a playground and a place for kids to go, and they don't want sidewalks? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It seems to me if you're going to do that and you're going to have kids, sidewalks are important. I mean, I'm involved in Lewis with sidewalks, and we won't let a developer not get away with not having sidewalks on both sides of the street anywhere. Because if you have little kids, they should ride on the sidewalk or walk on a sidewalk. Women who push baby strollers shouldn't be in the street no matter what. So just two things that I have concerns about, but I think the map would be most helpful to all of us, not only those who have an issue with the development, but others who like Sussex County, love Sussex County, would like to see what's happening to it. Thank you.
Mr. Tyler, here's a map
that members of the commission were supplied with by staff.
And I assure you that we all went to the site and became aware of that. And one of the rules is... And you're a member of the public. You may have that.
And I think that's a point well taken, Mr. Tyler. I know it isn't an issue. I don't think it's an issue where you're concerned that the commission may not know what's going on, but it's more about having a visual available for everybody, and I think it's a point well taken. So is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, right up front in the stripes.
My name is Sharon Ward. The only thing that concerns, well, not the only thing, but at this point, if this development goes in and they widen Johnson Road, I want a sidewalk on Johnson Road. I walk my dog twice a day. Right now it's dangerous as it is, but I need a sidewalk. Thank you.
All righty. We thank you. Okay, all the way in the back of your hand in the air in the gray. Got a Penn Stater coming up here.
Michelle Heritage. I live on Beaver Dam Branch Road. I live very near to where they're going to put the playground in. My concern is there a limit to what time they're going to be at the playground? When are they going to be barbecuing? Am I going to be in my house at 1 o'clock in the morning, somebody setting off fireworks at their barbecue? Is there going to be some kind of rule for that? Also, there's a bridge that goes on the end of Johnsonville Road that's in disrepair, I believe. Is any of that going to be taken care of if they're going to be coming out that way? Just my concerns.
Okay. Well, we thank you. Thank you for sharing them with us. Anybody else? Okay. No, Mr. Steen, the rules say only one trip to a customer. I wish I could do something about it, but I can't. So I apologize to you, but that's the rules. Yes, sir. All the way in the back here. Well, it's your night. I don't have to be anywhere until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
My name's Ron Burke. I live on Johnson Road. And I just want to clarify, what is the square footage of the homes that are going to be going behind here?
I'll ask that question for you.
Okay, because our concern is if they're putting low-income homes back there, we've already had problems with break-ins and all that stuff with the people that we already have there. So I'm just kind of worried about what element would bring into this development. That's kind of where we're going. All right, thank you.
Mr. Witzel, I don't remember if you testified to what size homes, and
yes,
if you
sir.
Would please do it again.
1,510 square feet, first floor area.
Okay.
That's the minimum?
Could be a
minimum,
second floor.
Minimum 1,510 on the first floor, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is that living space?
Sorry, Mr. Lincoln.
Is that living space?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, let's have a show of hands of those who are in favor. Okay. All right, I think we have our count in. And now opposed, put them up high, and just one hand. Our attorney is going to count, give him plenty of time because he's a lawyer, not a mathematician. Might have to take your shoes off for this. All right, sir. We thank you. Before we close the public hearing, I want to thank you for coming out. You were a very, very patient, very cooperative group, very, very respectful. Your comments will all be taken under consideration, and we thank you for being here. And with that, we'll close the public hearing. We will invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if you make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.